Welcome to Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. We invite you to stay tuned as Bishop Hill brings to you a relevant word for the real world. Come with me now to a service already in progress.
According to Luke chapter 2, we're going to read verses 41, I believe, through the end of the chapter, which would be verse 52. I am thankful to God for all those that serve up front, behind the scenes, have done so without fail, even during the pandemic, this pandemic, continuing to honor God with their service. You know, a couple months ago, we mastered the 1 hour worship service. And then the doors of the church were open. And I all but forgot how to do that. I'm going to make a stab at 25 minutes, if you would, please. Ain't no hollering today. I don't have a change of clothes. I'm thankful to God for Brother Rakees Lee, our new family member, new team member, who on yesterday celebrated the life of his father. And we give God praise that he is continuing to strengthen him. Amen. And so remember him in your prayers, please. He and his family. Luke chapter 2. Tyra, I wanted to talk about Christmas contentment. And it might sneak its way in there, but I do want to share something. It's a thought we visited. I had no intention of sharing it this morning, but I got to reading the story. And it was the Holy Spirit's reminder that we should not lose Christ at Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. From the New Living Translation, it says, every year Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. After the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. But when he didn't show up that evening, they started looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. 3 days later, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. His parents didn't know what to think. "Son," his mother said to him, "why have you done this? Your father and I have been frantic, searching for you everywhere." Watch Jesus. Verse 49. "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he meant. Then he returned to Nazareth with them, "Hear, children," and was obedient to them. Even Jesus was obedient to his parents. Look at God. And his mother stored all these things in her heart. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Would you jump back up to verse 43? Actually, it's the middle part of verse 43 going into verse 44. His parents didn't miss him at first because they assumed he was among the other travelers. Let's not lose Christ at Christmas. Be seated, please. It's such an amazing time of year, quite honestly. There are many who, like myself, have strongly desired for Christmas to come because of many things that Christmas is in this year. It is probably two more expressly than others. One, it's an opportunity to put the weight of this world somewhat behind us, and to focus on something that for everyone around the world is pleasant. Even those that don't celebrate Christmas from a Christian perspective appreciate and enjoy this time of year. Secondly, Christmas marks for us the beginning of the real end of the year. And for some, like myself, we are anxious in seeing 2020 come to an end. It's been a year marked with loss and pain and controversy and prejudice and all kinds of things, not the least of which are those things that have been felt personally by those who have had loved ones to leave them in this year. And that's what makes this amazing time of year also, at the same time, Colette, a very difficult time of year. This year, more than 300,000 have died from the coronavirus in the United States. That's 300,000 families who will be without someone they had on last year. It is not just that, but those who without coronavirus have experienced loss and lack and little in this year. This time of year is an incredibly depressing time of year for a lot of people. As a matter of fact, suicide goes up historically in this time of year. We're already, Brittany, dealing with the whole of how much there's been a rise in alcohol and drug abuse and domestic violence. And here now, the Christmas season presents an added weight on those lives that express themselves in that way. Is anybody hearing me this morning? And so I think it's really important that especially for the church, we shift back to the focus of Christmas so that we might celebrate appropriately. Do you know what the focus is? Or have you, like many others, forgotten what Christmas is really all about? Christmas is the arrival of the fullness of God's plan to redeem us. The package long awaited for. The prophets had tracked this delivery for centuries, and now finally, through a virgin courier named Mary, who has all a warned but willing accomplice by the name of Joseph, the package is finally delivered. His name is Jesus, and we have been told that he will save his people from their sins. He is the answer. He is our help. He is our gift. This is what Christmas is. God, the greatest gift giver there ever was, presents Jesus, and now, because of that gift, we might have relationship with him. We can be saved. This is Christmas. But we miss this message, unfortunately, because Christmas, Felicia, for a lot of people, is absent of this message, even for Christians. Christmas for too many means only candy canes and snowmen. It's trees and lights, Santa Claus and Rudolph. But that's not what Christmas is all about. If anything, at best, all of those things, Dickiness George, are the trimmings that help us to celebrate the season that stands significantly and solely on the fact that this is the remembrance of a Savior who was born before he is anything else. He is a Savior. Before he is a provider, a redeemer, a protector, a waymaker, or anything else he has proved himself to be in your life, he is first and foremost a Savior. please don't let the weight of what he really came to do be lost in the fact that he gave you a miracle. Because the greatest gift of all is the fact that God said, I love them so much, I won't leave them where they are. And so I'm coming, he says, I'm coming to save them. In the text that we have selected for this morning, it's Christmas again. It's the Passover festival, and that was the time, we remember, when Jesus was born, that the Roman Emperor Augustus determined to have the census because it drew everyone to their native village to be registered. Passover was, for the children of Israel, an automatic pilgrimage annually where they would go back to celebrate the Passover or celebrate what God had done to the children of Israel. This is where Jesus was born, while Joseph had taken Mary, his then pregnant wife, to his ancestral home of Bethlehem. For the next 12 years of Jesus's life, the family would continue to make this annual voyage to celebrate Passover. Y'all know what Passover is, right? It's the celebration again of when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. The final act of demonstration by God to Pharaoh Cairn was the killing of all the firstborn sons. But God spared the homes of the Israelites from this disaster wherever the blood had been applied to the doorpost. The death angel, Tori, would literally passed over the home where he saw the blood. It is during this celebration that Jesus is born. Get that, if you will. The blood that would redeem is born during a time when blood is being remembered. That was the first Christmas. And for the next 12 years, Jesus grows, and with his family, Mother Jo, they experience this annual voyage. And here it is again at the opening of our text. We find out in Luke chapter 2, it's Christmas again. But this time, in verse 41, or rather verse 42, we find out that Jesus is 12 years old, and it's Christmas again. And they go to be a part of the religiously devout who celebrate Passover. And then what happens? In the middle of the celebration, when it's time to go, Joseph and Mary get to packing, and they leave. They leave with the caravan. More than likely, they arrived with about a week or so ago, Elder Red. And everything is normal until they go looking for Jesus. And they can't find him. Because Jesus is not with them in the return home. Jesus gets lost and left at Christmas. Now, we can't hate on Mary or Joseph. We can't hate on any family member, because it is my supposition this morning that we, like they, have lost him at Christmas. I'll show you this. Watch this. It is quite honestly my belief they don't lose him when they leave. But they lost him in the routine of the celebration. Jesus isn't lost in the leaving. He's not lost while they were packing. He's lost in the routine of the celebration. Somewhere while they were doing all of the things that meant for the celebration of Passover, there's a disconnect from Jesus. Us like they, somewhere in the celebration, in the hustle and bustle of buying gifts, whether online or trying to make your way through the store, navigating through traffic to get that item that's on the list for your loved ones, we lose him in the celebration. Let me tell you how lost Jesus is in the celebration. We start playing Christmas music the day after Thanksgiving. Watch this. But by the time Christmas comes, we're sick of the music that celebrates the Savior. Is anybody hearing what I'm saying? Okay, that ain't you. That ain't you. That ain't you. That ain't you. How many Christian families Wake up on Christmas morning, Crystal, and race to the tree and to start opening gifts. Not one prayer is prayed. Not one scripture is read in the home of a Christian at Christmas. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. He's lost in the celebration. Shame on any Christian family that opens a gift without opening the scriptures on Christmas morning. How do you do it? How do you not remind yourself that the first gift, the one that makes Christmas possible, is Jesus Christ? Okay. I'm not supposed to raise my voice. But Jesus gets lost. And you can't be mad at your kids if their focus is more on the gifts. Because your responsibility, hear me, parents, your responsibility is to ensure they know what it's really all about. I know you wish I was preaching on contentment, don't you? They lose them in the routine of the celebration, but then check this out. Check this out. He's lost by the folk closest to him. It wasn't Auntie Jackie and them that lost him. It wasn't Jesse Jr. that lost him. It wasn't my dear Nim. It wasn't. Mary, his mother. And Joseph, his stepdad. Okay. Now I can almost understand Joseph leaving him. I can almost understand. Hey, I ain't your real daddy. But Mary. Wait. Which says, quite honestly, any person is able to lose him. You're not so anointed. Okay. That your focus can't get off. Every single one of us has got to be careful not to lose Christ, because if Mary can lose him, Mary, who's got the promise, Mary, just 12 years ago, has an experience where she ends up pregnant and not a man had touched her. How do you, Mary, lose him? Now, I'm going to read the text, because I want you to see something. I want you to see when the realization comes. In the text it says, verse 43, after the celebration was over, they started home to Nazareth, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Here's the conviction of the whole story. His parents didn't miss him at first, because they assumed somebody else would have him. Y'all ain't bothered by this, Camille? This don't bother you? They literally treat Jesus like the ice at the party. We got everything else. Somebody was supposed to remember. Ain't nobody remember the ice there, Ron. I mean, ain't nobody remember. Watch this. The conviction continues, Leon. They don't realize Jesus isn't there until, according to verse 44, when he didn't show up that evening. Can I just play with the word show up? Isn't it funny how we don't miss him until he doesn't show up? If I felt like hollering, this would be a real good point right here. Deacon in training, Joe, that quite honestly, Carlos, call it, we don't realize Jesus isn't there until he doesn't show up in our finances, till he doesn't show up in our sickness, till he doesn't show up in our relationships. That's when we remember to pray, because there's this unwritten rule that God is just going to show up because we're in need. And when things don't go according to the plan, when he doesn't show up surely, that's when we realize that Jesus is not here. They don't know where they dropped him off. They don't know where the disconnect is. They just know a moment has come and there's an expectation, and he doesn't show up. And the trip is, they assume he's with somebody else. Can I ask you really honestly, who might you unwittingly depend on to have Jesus for you? Let me help you real quick. For everybody that can't pray a prayer solo, you got to have a prayer partner. Let me help you. Okay. Let me help the folk who have to be in the church building in order to connect with God, because you can't connect with him by yourself. And so you depend on the people on stage to connect you to Jesus. Don't worry, I ain't got but 8 minutes left. Don't worry. Surely somebody would have remembered Jesus. Surely, how do you forget him? Watch this. When you're in the same place, you got him. Okay. Scripture says in Revelations, we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Let me remind you of Mary's testimony, Jada. Mary's got the testimony right here in this same place, Bethlehem, at the same time of year that God did the impossible in her life. And it only takes 12 years to lose the significance of the Savior's stupendous act in your life. Okay. You missed it. How long does it take you to forget how God brought you through? How long does it take you to forget the breakthrough that he made in your life? For Mary, it took 12 years, and she lost sight of a blessing in the same place she got blessed. I'm just curious. How long does it take you to stop thanking him for the new house? How long will it take you to stop thanking him? I mean, you thanking him right now, but will you still be thanking him in 12 years? Okay. Or will you, like Janet Jackson, be prayerfully saying, what have you done for me lately? Okay. I'm sorry. I was supposed to dress up in a costume and tell you there was a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. That's what I was supposed to do. And then pass out candy canes on the way out to church with the hand sanitizer. And I apologize. I couldn't do that, because what the Holy Spirit reminded me was that there were too many of us who believe but have lost the Christ we say we believe in. In the very season he's supposed to stand the tallest. Okay. So, 5.5 minutes. Watch it. Verse 45 says, when they couldn't find him, they went back to Jerusalem to search for him there. Honestly, if I didn't have one more point, I could go in right here. Because quite honestly, if he hadn't shown up lately for you, it ain't because he's moved. If you don't feel close to him like you used to, Brother Carlos, it's not because he moved. It's because you moved. But all you got to do is go back.
Y'all ain't.
Ooh, Lord. Will somebody just shout, go back to where you left him. Go back to the altar. Go back to the place of his presence. Go back to where you can find him. Tell somebody, he'll be right there.
Okay. All right, that's it. That's it. All right, wait.
Matter of fact, what somebody needs to get for Christmas this year is a whole new return. A return to fasting. A return to living right. A return to talking right. Have I got one witness here? Somebody say, I'm going back.
All right, that was for me. You didn't need that. That was for me. Sit.
Sit. Watch this. I bet you if you go back, you won't want to lose him again. Because whenever you go back, he'll be waiting with open arms, saying, I never left you, and I never will. But if you come back now, you'll get all the love that you've always had available. Somebody shout, go back.
Now watch it. Be seated, please. Watch this.
Now, watch this. I'm gonna leave you alone. But watch this. They couldn't find him where they were. So they went back to where he was. Lord, help me here. If you're looking for God to be where you moved to, you got to go back to where he is. Let me show you where he is. Watch this. Text says, 3 days they're looking for him. I don't know what it is with Jesus in 3 days, but now watch this. 3 days later, verse 46 says, they finally discovered him in the temple, sitting among the religious teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Mama, Mary and Joseph didn't even know what to think. So now watch this. Mary goes up to him. I need you, picture this now. Mary is the mother. Okay? Jesus is a 12-year-old boy. Okay? And when Mary gets to him, after she discovers him, she really wants to be more upset than she can express because of what she discovers him doing. Wasn't doing anything wrong.
You've just received Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr. and the Citadel Church of Jacksonville. You may order a copy of this message in its entirety or a gift of any amount by calling the church office at 904-439-HOPE. You may also write us at P.O. Box 350-414, Jacksonville, Florida 32235. When you call or write, please reference the date the broadcast aired. We invite you to share and worship with us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Our church is located at 1057 Arlington Road. For directions and more information about the church, visit our website at thecitadelchurch.com. Again, that's thecitadelchurch.com. Be sure to tune in next week at the same time for Hope with Bishop Terry Hill Jr.